Football Fix with Doug and Wolf, presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
We need more color analysts like this.
The man literally stands up on a podium and just lies.
Yeah! You want to call anybody out?
Did he really lie?
I don't know. I kind of lean to a yes, but I'll be the first one to admit there are thousands of times in the 12 years of this show as we enter 13 of the Doug and Wolf Show where we guarantee you football every weekday morning at 8 o'clock where I have said something that I was just plain wrong, or I said something kind of out of habit. You just get into a flow and you say something you're used to saying. And wait a minute, I didn't mean that.
Yeah.
Roger Goodell said something in his press conference yesterday that I think he's wrong. I don't think he did. But it's a little bit of a leap to go as far as he lied. If you're always talking about something and you say, hey, I've talked to this guy, I've talked to this guy, I've talked to the players, because 90% of the time you do.
It's called a misspeak.
Yeah. Then this might be the one time, well, wait, okay, I didn't talk to the players on this issue, but I'm used to saying that I did. And you're just up in front of people. I want to give him a little bit of room here, but I could see him lying about this.
There's a real possibility.
And so I don't want to say Zach Strief is wrong. Here is your story. No pass interference called on a clear pass interference from Roby Coleman in the Saints-Rams NFC Championship game. First time Roger Goodell has said anything written or verbal about this. He waited all the way until a week and a half later at his State of the League address to the media and then said, I understand.
We understand the frustration of the fans. I've talked to Coach Payton, the team, the players. We understand the frustration that they feel right now, and we certainly want to address that.
Supposedly, none of the players say that he's talked to them.
This is
then. That's what we hear.
This is so you could hear the direct quote of Roger Goodell saying, I've talked to Sean Payton, the team, the players. That's what he said. This is Zach Strief, former Saint for about 8 years of the ballpark.
Yeah.
Give me a little bit of room, please. But now he's the color analyst, and he also does some work on WWL radio, and he was asked about what did he think of what Goodell said.
Every player I've talked to, matter of fact, here's a good one. I just asked Ben Watson. We're sitting here off air trying to say, who could he have talked to? Because I talked to Drew earlier, and Drew said no.
Oh.
So then, Deuce, that's a good, you know, hey, Ben Watson. Ben Watson made this post asking him to say something. Maybe he talked to Ben Watson. I asked him, Ben, did you talk to Roger Goodell? His response, ha, that's funny. No. So the man literally stands up on a podium and just lies.
You know, I mean, it's pretty Goodell-ic.
Paul,
right
it's
there.
Hard yeah. to disagree with what Zach is saying.
If you weren't going to talk to Drew Brees, who were
yep.
you going to talk
yep.
to?
What do they want? I'm not here to dispute Roger Goodell, whether he's lying or maybe he's bending it a little bit. But what do the Saints want? What does Who Dat Nation want at this point? Do they just want acknowledgement? Are they sort of like,
I'm not going to be ignored, Dan.
Do they want the
yes,
commissioner
Paul.
Just to acknowledge their pain, which he did at one point, I believe. I think he did say that. Now, it wasn't very heartfelt. I don't think it was very genuine
was
or sincere.
Awful. It was awful.
And it's sort of like I said, when you call the 1-800 line and they could care less and they're trying to get you off the line and they don't really give a crap. It's some overseas phone line, customer service, which is anything but customer service. That's what you're getting out of Roger Goodell. What else is feasible, though? They're not going to go back and replay it. They're not going to give you an extra draft pick. I mean, what do you want at this point?
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, for the most part, I think they want the acknowledgement. And what are you going to do about it in the future, right? And I think that was one of the mistakes that he's made. I think Roger Goodell should have been out in front of this thing. I really do believe that, ladies and gentlemen. Now, there may be PR guys that are out there right now disagreeing with me, and you guys are way more capable than I'll ever be in regard to this. But having said that, I think Roger Goodell made a massive mistake by his silence.
Yes, absolutely.
A silence of 11 days. It's a massive mistake.
Think about the Phoenix Suns. for a second. The Phoenix Suns have admitted they didn't do a great job of trying to get the arena vote explained. And once it came out that there was a report, now later on, the report was completely redacted, but there was a report that said the Suns threatened to move if they didn't get the vote. And in today's day and age of you creating your own media, you actually had the owner stand in front of somebody's cell phone and issue a video statement saying, listen, I have never threatened to move. We belong in Phoenix. We're gonna, you know, and whatever he said. And that's Robert Sarver. How does somebody not just put a camera in front of Roger Goodell in his own office? And he could have addressed Saints fans right there. And I would feel better. Listen, Cardinals fans, if this happened to us, I understand how you feel. I'm a Redskins fan. If it happened to me, I'd be losing my mind. But if Roger Goodell comes out and says in a video, Saints fans, we couldn't have screwed that up any more than we did.
Right.
That was terrible.
Right.
That was bad officiating by human beings.
Everything we can to fix it.
And I know it's not going to do you any good. You're not going to feel better when I tell you we made a mistake, because we can't go back and change it. We need to allow the game to happen on the field. And I'm going to stand by the officials that made the mistake that says that's part of the game. Now, what are we going to do forward? Going forward, we're going to have a competition committee meeting, and we're going to look at this, and we're going to decide, was this mistake so egregious? We have to put in place situations that will never let this happen again. I think we should, but we need to go further and have discussion. And as soon as those discussions are over, after our March owners meetings, I will come and address the season ticket holders. That would have been boom. And now it's over. The whole thing's over, to the point of anybody else that wants to bring it back up, you're kind of whining. You know, get over it now. But when he doesn't do that, man, this guy deserves, whether it's true or not, to have people come out and say.
The man literally stands up on a podium and just lies.
The head coach, though, got a phone call right after the game from Al Riveron, the director of officiating, the point person in this matter. And then there was a moment during the press conference yesterday where Roger Goodell took everyone through the process, and he said, in not so many words, well, the head coach then revealed that to the media and shared that with all of you. Almost as if, you know what, that breaks protocol to reveal those behind-the-scenes phone calls to the media. And because of that, well, I went with radio silence effective immediately. It was almost a tit for a tat from Roger Goodell in the way he explained that, that Sean Payton may have violated some sort of understanding between head coaches in the league in those circumstances.
Paul, you know, I actually think you're right, and I think that that's even worse leadership. You know what I mean? That if you're that petty to say, you know what, I'm going to because of my beef with your actions here or my history of beefs with you, I'm not going to serve my customer and my fan base, because I think all of us sympathize with the Saints.
Sure.
All of us are a little worried about what would that have, how would that have done to my team? Could you imagine the last year of Larry? I'm stealing this from Bickley or Vince because they made the point yesterday. But could you imagine if this really is the last year of Larry Fitzgerald? If last year would have been it, or if it happens this year in a playoff game, or even week 17 if the Cardinals have a chance for a playoffs, and somebody mugs Fitz in his last game, and now we don't, what? And then we get silence?
What if that was Drew Brees' last game? What if that was his swan? Think about that. What if that's the circumstances and the storyline was that that's how Drew Brees leaves the NFL, on that play, on that outcome?
Yeah. You know what? There's a good analogy here, Basinonians. It's like a player that has been around in the league who gets cut from a team and the head coach never talks to him. Okay? That is so disrespectful. I can't even tell you how disrespectful that is. A guy that is a veteran player, a guy that's played maybe 4, 5, 6 years in the league, he gets cut. You cut him, and he never talks to the head coach. Never gets in front of the head coach. The head coach doesn't sit down and say, here's the reason why we cut you. That's so disrespectful, period. That's exactly what Roger Goodell should have done. It's so disrespectful that he didn't stand up and say, hey, listen, this should have never happened. I'm sorry that it did. There's nothing we can do about it except try to endeavor in the future to make sure that it never happens again.
I so agree.
Period.
I hate ever saying I agree with Ron Wolfley, but I endorse his message.
Al Riveron is the guy you're going to let do that?
Yeah, bad move. Bad move.
Who Dat Nation, though, is like the customer in the fast food restaurant screaming for the manager. You screwed up my order. I need a manager. I need a man. I need to be heard right now. That's what they're coming off like right now. Zach Streif and company.
If they did screw up your order, I want to talk to the manager.
There you go.
Doggone right.
I won't bang on the table, yeah. But I will
say, I want some free coupons.
They're not going to whine,
though.
Never
said that.
Coming up next, have the D-backs found their closer? Or does their closer have to earn it? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Are you talking to me? Rich Brooks! Yeah, Rich!
Rich Brooks!
Ray! Back! A veteran! Ray! Cutting a veteran and never saying a word to him. Where's the respect, Rich? Where's the face time, yeah?
Pantera Callout is brought to you by AutoNation. 13 dealerships in the valley and over 100,000 new and pre-owned vehicles on AutoNation.com. Find out what you're looking for today. Rich Brooks call out today.
Rich Brooks, how about that?
You want to talk former, Oregon Duck football? Or?
No, the former head coach, as a matter of fact, of the then St. Louis Rams.
Oh, I see. You had some interactions with him?
Rich Brooks, yes, you know that I have.
You want to beat or anything?
You say facetiously, no.
Would you compare Torrey Lovello to Rich Brooks?
As a matter of fact, I would not.
You would not, I see.
The antithesis of Rich Brooks, Torrey Lovello.
The entire conversation is an exclusive at ArizonaSports.com. Bickley and Murata did a great job yesterday at the Waste Management Phoenix Open, and it was the Pro-Am, so you had a lot of the celebrities coming through, and Torrey Lovello, it was just announced the day before that he had signed a two-year contract extension, so the contract going to run out at the end of this year. They didn't want him to be a lame duck, in which everybody's wondering, are you going to be back? Sometimes that can fractionalize a clubhouse a little bit, and at the same time, they're also saying you've done what we need you to do. And they said, let's add 20 and 21 to the end of this contract. And the first thing Torrey Lovello told Bickley and Murata is, wait a minute, let's be clear here. Yes, we don't have Goldie, but
you know what I want to make sure the listeners understand is that when our front office makes a move, and it's not a total rebuild. A total rebuild would have been everybody was sold off, and you know all the names. I don't need to go over them, but they're still here. And we couldn't afford to keep those players. But our front office is very smart. Our front office is very talented in a lot of different ways because they know how to build and construct a lineup based on what we have remaining. And if you're looking to have guys step in, we are still very capable and going to win some baseball games. It'll be up to us to work a little bit harder. We love that challenge. We're not the Dodgers where we can afford a $250 million payroll. We love that. It just makes it a little bit tougher on us, but we like that challenge.
There's a lot there.
Yeah, there is a lot there.
But one thing I would want to tell you is, as I'm the media sifter, like if I'm your media colander, I can tell you, when he goes on and on about how smart the front office is.
Did you just say media sifter?
Yeah. I just kind of made that up. I don't even know what that means.
You may want to go somewhere else on that one.
I can tell you that this is how you play the media game. If he didn't believe in the front office so much.
Enter sifter.
You would go, I am Metallica. You would then have him say something like this. Listen, my job is to not worry about the front office decisions. Their job is to give me a roster. My job is to be a part of who's the 25-man roster. My job is to win games with who they give me. You don't have to go down that road unless you mean it.
No.
There's an easy way to dance. So that's number one about what he's saying. I think number two that's kind of impressive there is the way he talks about the $250 million payroll of the Dodgers.
Right.
He handled that well.
Right.
Uh-oh.
Because the margins, of course.
Whenever you just agree with me without listening, no. That means you're about
what
to do
you
something
talking
that's
about
gonna be
right
bad.
Now? Honestly, there's nothing wrong with you being the media sifter.
That's not turn of fortune worthy. That is that openly.
The media sifter.
That is not turn of fortune.
What exactly is that? It sounds a little haughty to me, first of all. I'm the media sifter.
It is not. That is not
what
turn of
fortune. What are you talking about? Let's
spin the media turd wheel.
Listen, I'll sift everything for the media.
Media turd wheel is asking Belichick a ridiculous question.
All right, don't get me sidetracked. It was funny. The media sifter, Doug Franz. Why is that cracking me up?
I think everyone's wondering.
I'll tell you why it's cracking me up is this morning, the news about Sean Payton wearing the shirt, the Roger Goodell clown shirt, has got me totally distracted. But I don't want to take away from
you're driving now.
I don't want to do it. I don't want it to detract in any way, shape, or form from the conversation we're having about Torrey Lovello, a guy that deserves a little bit of love here on the Doug and Wolf Show. A little bit of praise on the Doug and Wolf
Show. So I have to remember, we need to choose topics that you feel like somebody deserves love and you could focus on.
Torrey Lovello, I love the fact that they've extended Torrey Lovello, of course, added two seasons on. There's no doubt about it, Doug Leash. You've been talking about this for a long time, and I just back what you say 100%. The stability that was offered Torrey Lovello in this very difficult time of upheaval, where Paul Goldschmidt, AJ Pollock, Patrick Corbin, they're no longer here. Those are three of the best players the Diamondbacks had. How are they going to replace that? You hear about this roster flexibility that the Diamondbacks have really gone to, right? I think that's just code for platooning. There's going to be more platooning that is going on right now.
I'm really interested in that because I think you're going to have an odd position battle in which it's like it's a situation where that you're going to use the flexibility, and I mean it like this. You might be in a three-way battle for two positions. So it's, are we looking at first base? Christian Walker, if he's going up against Clayton Kershaw, is winning a batting title. Now, who else? Are you going to get a little bit more consistency? What are you doing?
What are you talking about? That's not good. What are you doing?
Whatever's about to happen is not good.
How many times do you talk back to command and control? I never stop what I'm doing.
We're driving like we got to go somewhere.
No. When you do it, don't get distracted.
Uh-oh.
Make your point.
Then
get in, get out, Douglas.
There is, with Christian Walker, I want him to win that job. But if you want to have the lefty-righty battle going on at first, okay. Now, what about third? Is Jake Lamb always the guy, and it's either going to be at third or first because you want his bat in the lineup?
Yes.
Or is he just in a battle for third? Or is he just in a battle for first? And who is Jake Lamb? I mean, Jake Lamb has had now a consistent history of being one of the most prolific offensive guys for like 6 weeks. And then just, boom, it's over. Okay, what is Jake Lamb going to be able to do for actually six months of production?
You know what? I'm glad you brought up Jake Lamb right now, because where do you see Jake Lamb? Is he a better third baseman? Is that what you see? Do you see him actually platooning with Eduardo Escobar?
I don't. I think the best team would be Escobar at third and Jake Lamb in a platoon with Christian Walker at first.
I totally agree.
And let these two battle it out. And to see, can Christian Walker, can you hit right-handed pitching well enough? Or Jake Lamb, can you hit left-handed pitching well enough? And let one of the guys maybe earn the spot as a non-platoon.
Yes.
I don't think the Diamondbacks agree with me, though. I think they look at Jake Lamb a lot higher than I do.
Yes. You know, honestly,
and we're only talking about the player, not the person.
The position right now that I'm most worried about, and I think we all would say this, is center field, right? I mean, center field, where you've got Ketel Marte trying to make the transition from second base to center field. Guy's an incredible athlete. I think we all understand that. But A.J. Pollock was so good. That's the difficult part for Ketel Marte, as far as I'm concerned. It's because A.J. Pollock was so adept, so good. The acumen of playing center was so acute for A.J. Pollock that there's going to be a massive drop-off when you go to a Ketel Marte. He was that good with the glove in center field, especially at Chase. That's got me a little concerned, no doubt.
Who are you starting at second? Flores? Who you just got from?
I think
from,
it's Wilmer Flores, right?
Who you just got from the Mets?
Yeah. I think he's going to be the guy, right? And maybe you're going to take, I don't know, Jake Lamb, stick him over at third and move Escobar over to second. Roster flexibility is going to be the buzz phrase for the Diamondbacks in 2019.
If you get a chance, go to ArizonaSports.com and listen to the exclusive audio of Torrey Lovello with Bickley and Murata, because Torrey Lovello tells a fantastic Ketel Marte center field story that if you're a Diamondbacks fan, I think you want to hear it. Have you subscribed to the Doug and Wolf podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android and you'll never miss any of the show. It's the Doug and Wolf podcast, and this week it's brought to you by PhoenixHousePainting.com. Well, he stood up in front of the masses and apologized. So that means he believes in the 2019 Cardinals. We'll tell you about Pat P and what he said next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. time. Maloney Bear, I don't remember when it was specifically. When did we have Mark May on? Was it 9:15 yesterday? 9:30? Somewhere in the 9, maybe, is where we had Mark May on the show. Max Starks just walked into the Oxygen Community Studios wearing a Rams sweatshirt.
Either that or somebody dimmed the lights, ladies and gentlemen, because this
just
huge,
in case I had to make a pick today.
This huge to make sure we shadow just actually covered Studio Shangri-La.
There's about 9 different topics I was about to go to, but I admit I'm distracted by the Rams code. I'll be the first one to admit it.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Rule number 1 in this situation, honor thy paycheck. My line of duty check comes from them, so
is that right?
That was the last team I played with.
Oh.
Last team I played with was the St. Louis Rams over there in Earth City, Missouri.
I see.
Yeah, got to honor the paycheck this week.
So we have the sweatshirt of the Rams while we're still touting the Pittsburgh Steelers water bottle.
That's right. Hey, listen, all good juju over here. I mean, who has the most Super Bowls? And I need them to win one. So, listen, we're calling out all the stops. It's the Patriots.
Am I correct?
And it is the Pats.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but am I correct in saying Super Bowl trophies, Lombardi trophies, are 6-5 Steelers versus Patriots? I think the 49ers are at 5. Mm-hmm. Are the Cowboys at 5?
Yeah, Cowboys are at 5.
I think that's it. If I'm missing somebody that's at 5, I owe you a beer. Patriots, 49ers, and Cowboys, I think, are the group that's at 5. Steelers at 6. So you got to be a little nervous.
I am
right
nervous.
Now.
No, and it's really more so.
Share that title, five. Large man.
It's Brady has 5, and Belichick has has right. more than that. But right. you know, Brady has 5 alone. So I mean, let's just keep it to where it's not Brady has just as many.
I saw the most hysterical Pittsburgh Steelers stat the other day, which we know it shouldn't be applied at all. But at the beginning of every NFL season, Tom Brady has a higher percentage of getting to the Super Bowl than Terry Bradshaw did in completing passes.
Stop.
Just getting to the Super Bowl.
That's incredible.
We're not even talking about winning, but he gets to more Super Bowls every year in his career than Terry Bradshaw completed passes. A Hall of Famer.
Just absolutely incredible what the Patriots have done.
It is. Now. We hate
For
it.
Me,
we
I
all
can,
hate it, but it's
no,
crazy.
I can tell you right now, I've never been afraid of greatness. And you know this. I have said this for over a decade. Never been afraid of it. There are some people that are
intimidated.
Well,
why don't you bring it every morning then?
I'm not.
Oh, I see.
Okay? I'm not great. I said I've never been afraid
of
being great. I've never been afraid of greatness whatsoever. They've earned everything that they've gotten. Everything. Now, I know people say, oh, they're a bunch of cheaters. I can't dispute the fact that there was a point in time where they thought of something that nobody else had actually thought of at that point in time.
There was an article written that Bill Belichick thought of as he was your head coach in Cleveland of putting an NFL Films t-shirt on people in his organization and sending them to the other sideline to film stuff. Who knows if that was actually true. But, you know, now that you've taken off the Rams coat and Max Starks is here in the for Maximum Football.
It's warm
football,
in the studio today. I don't know why it happened.
Maloney must have slipped in here and changed the thermostat or something.
Oh, it's a
But you know Antonio Brown.
Balmy.
And you know Patrick Peterson. Something happened yesterday on the show that was very interesting. Another 2-time Super Bowl winning offensive lineman, Mark May, was on the show.
That's right. Another successful car dealer.
And
love Mark May.
And Mark said,
hey, the other thing I would do, Patrick Peterson wants out, and don't worry about the salary cap because you're not going to the playoffs next year anyway. If Patrick Peterson wants out that desperately, guess what? Trade him to the Steelers for Antonio Brown. Eat the salary cap this year. You're going to get a dynamic receiver. You're going to pair him with Larry Fitzgerald, one of the best people, not only players in the NFL and NFL history, and he's going to take the diva out of Antonio Brown in this football season under his tutelage.
Now, that was yesterday before Patrick Peterson made news, so we'll get to the news that he made in a second.
Love Mayday.
But, Max, as you hear the idea of trading a guy you know for a guy that you know. Is this brilliant? Is this crazy? What do you think about that?
It's very intriguing. I will say this.
Really?
I
okay.
mean, when you think about it, because it would be two guys who would be taking salary cap hits from the team anyways.
That's a very important point. It's not the NBA where salaries have to match. Both teams get hammered in that trade.
Yeah. And it's like, well, if I'm getting hammered, I mean, I might as well take the best option available. And I think the talent is equal in both of these situations. It's intriguing to think. It would be amazing to pull off. I mean, I would think that would probably be the only way you could move Antonio Brown before June 1st would be that type of trade, where it'd have to be a player for player equal trade to get what you both want, because corner's an issue of need for the Pittsburgh Steelers on the defensive side of the ball, and wide receiver and corner is a position of need. But now you have to go get two corners if you're the Cardinals.
Yeah.
You know, you can't rely on just having, you know, a great receiver, because you've missed corner for, what, the last 4 years? And now you're going to give away your best threat of taking away half the field? I wouldn't do it. No, after looking at it, I'm like, it would be great from a salary cap hit standpoint, sure, but no.
And
no,
now you can't do that. I agree with you on the talent for talent thing. I think that actually lines up right there, but I wouldn't do it.
And I wouldn't do it either, because I think that I don't agree on diva for diva. Pat P does have a little bit in him, but Antonio Brown, I think, is gone. I think he's off the deep end with it.
He's jumped the shark. In that respect, because it's something. It's one thing to request a trade after everything that's gone wrong. You feel like, you know, your requests are going on deaf ears, which is more so Pat P. You know, it's like he's trying. I need help, and nobody's helping me.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Antonio Brown has just gone completely. It's me. And then everybody else.
And if you didn't know, the reason why we wanted Max to talk about this is because Mark May said it, but Max Starks, former Steelers offensive lineman, longtime teammate of Antonio Brown, knows him well, so wanted to know some insight. Now, the situation has changed since Mark May said that, because there was news yesterday made, of all places, at the 16th hole of the Waste Management Phoenix Open Pro-Am.
I just want to apologize to everybody for asking for that trade in the middle of the season. I'm here to stay, baby.
All is forgiven, Max. It's over.
Yeah, there. I mean, no grander of a gesture than on the 16th. I mean, of all holes, the stadium hole.
Yeah,
come on. I mean, you can't beat that. And for him to make that proclamation, you know, and I think it was made out of frustration.
Yes, I mean, I agree with that.
You know, Pat is such a great, and normally, and he's a humble dude.
I love that.
One of the things, you know, like you said, you know, does he have diva tendencies? Well, he's the best at what he does, so he's going to command a certain level of respect. But at the same time, that was made out of frustration. You look at where they were as a team,
sure,
when he made that statement. You know, you think of the Mike McCoy situation that was going on offensively. The defense was being left out to dry in a lot of situations. The personnel didn't match what Steve Wilks and Al Holcomb wanted him to do. He had to explain to Deion Buchanan why he wasn't playing when he's an every-down starter for the last couple of years.
Yes.
So you had all of these different dynamics, and it came to a pressure point. So I think for him to come out and make that statement, I say all is forgiven.
It's funny.
Yeah, you know, I honestly don't think he is forgiven in the locker room. I think there's a lot of guys that are going to remember that.
No, there's going to be
some. That's just me. You know, I think there's going to be some guys that are going to remember that.
It's funny how you said he's got, like, diva-like qualities, because – you know what I
and
thought
I love
of,
Pat P.
You know what it's I thought right. of was
man, yeah. Please, I love Johnny Football. See, the real people don't want to accept Johnny Football because Johnny Football has ghetto tendencies.
When you say diva-like qualities, I think of ghetto tendencies. Coming up next, it's time for Max Starks to weigh in on the 2018 NFL Award Show. See if he fights the Academy. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Doug and Wolf's 2018 NFL Honors.
NFL Honors.
Right now, sitting in the Auction Community Studios with us is Max Starks, two-time Super Bowl winning offensive lineman, Ron Wolfley, Doug Franz, as the panel here to look at the NFL Honors. The award show is coming this weekend. Wolf actually wants this to replace the whole Pro Bowl. Like, this would be the Pro Bowl awards, would be honors, and have a big ceremony, blah, blah, blah. But what the NFL is trying to do is have their own black tie affair. So we've decided, Max, to invite you in.
Thank you.
To our black tie affair.
Yes,
Thank you.
Button this up.
And you do not have to button the top button of the shirt.
What you've lost looks good in that black top.
There we go.
Thank you.
There we go.
I don't think there's anything more uncomfortable than the top button buttoned in a golf shirt.
No, this is. But guys wear it like
I don't understand that.
What does that say?
Fitz does that. I don't get it.
No, I don't get it either. If there's no tie, don't button the top.
Exactly.
That's so Jody Murphy.
So we now go to the actual person who is running the awards, Aaron Maloney, your host through the Academy Awards of Football.
Best game, and the nominees are
Rams versus Chiefs, Week 11 on Monday Night Football.
Oh, that's Wolf's favorite.
With 1:49 to go, a 40-yard strike from Goff to Everett, and the Rams are back on the high side, 53-51.
Packers versus Bears, Week 1 on Sunday Night Football.
First and 10 for the Chicago 12. Snap to Rodgers under a blitz. Rodgers tight pocket, steps up, throws a left, got Devontae inside the 10. Head fake, cuts left to the 5, reaches pylon, and touchdown!
Now, don't forget on that one. That was, what, Rodgers 21 points in the fourth quarter when we didn't know the Packers were going to collapse?
Yeah.
That was big time, right?
That was also when Aaron Rodgers left the game, I thought, right?
Oh, yeah, and then came back. Well, yeah, that's right. That's right. Very well done.
Patriots versus Chiefs, Week 6.
Turns toward Gostkowski, now to Cardona. The snap and play. Swing the right leg. Kick left into the uprights. Right down the middle. A game winner for Gostkowski. And the Patriots prevail. 43-40.
And Bears Rams Week 14.
Sullivan sends it back to Goff. Big push up front. Down he goes. Safety. Eddie Goldman. A vicious front push by that Bears front four, and they get to Goff in the end zone.
Okay, I got mine, but I'm interested in you, Wolf, because that Bears game was 15-6.
Yes.
With all of these games of the offensive explosion, and that was old school. We'll get the Academy's vote in a second. Where are you going?
Well, for me right now, this is not best win, correct? This is best game.
Best
period.
Game. Best game. Game.
Period. Jacksonville 6, Colts 0, December 2nd, 2018.
I knew you were going to say it.
There it is right there, baby. Are you kidding me? I'm going to bloody your face.
You can have a good 6-0
game. That's exactly what that was.
Not a good 6-0 game.
I'm going to bloody your face. All right, it is a bit of a protest vote.
Yes, exactly.
There's no denying
the Academy should mock
you. Was there a write-in there?
I'm going to. It's a write-in.
He had a write-in.
That's exactly what it was.
I choose E.
And I'm going to dig my heels.
We'll get a real voter in here.
Moved.
Max, what are you doing?
I'm going to have to go. The NFL sky is falling. Rams Chiefs.
I am totally with
the
you.
The sky is falling.
No way.
There are too many balls being thrown in the air and caught in end zone.
The only reason you wouldn't choose Rams Chiefs is if you're protesting. Because I understand if you're fearful this is where the NFL's going, okay, that's a problem. But when it was a one game affair, that was an unbelievable event to watch.
An explosion.
Yes. So it's just best game. It's not don't do it again.
But
it's just
a
best
protest,
game.
Douglas.
Yeah, no protest by the Academy.
I'll protest if I want to protest.
The envelope, please. Wolf, Rams versus Chiefs.
Yeah! Congratulations.
I actually had that as the best win, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, okay.
The best win of the season.
No, there's a better win, so you got that.
Rams versus Chiefs.
No.
For the very reason Doug Lees just said. The fact that, you know what, a one-time affair, are you kidding me? Yeah, of course, absolutely would love to see that. Best game? No way.
Maloney, what's next?
Give me the bloodbath.
Best win.
Oh.
And the nominees are...
We're going right to it.
Browns Week 3 win versus the Jets to grab their first win since 2016.
Baker Mayfield takes a knee. Count it down, everybody. The Browns are winners tonight. And the drought is over. Led by the number one overall draft choice, Baker Mayfield. They come back and win.
Light beer for everybody.
Baker.
Cowboys Week 10 win at the Eagles.
Snap back. Fake the end around. Rolling right. Throws to Elliott at the 5. Walk that dog. In for the touchdown. 7-yard touchdown pass to Elliott. Cowboys are back on top.
And Rams Week 11 win over the Chiefs on Monday Night Football.
Touchdown, LA!
Putnam
with 1:49 to go.
All right, you can stop him. We've already heard him. No,
from Goff to Everett.
You've already got my vote.
No, that's not best. Best would listen. This is the Redskins fan in the room.
Best win.
I detest the Cowboys. I cannot stand the Cowboys. But remember the Titans? You just brought them up. They could not score. And the Titans lit them up for four touchdowns. That was the greatest performance in Titans offensive history since Steve McNair. They were a terrible offensive team. There was no doubt there were fire in their head coach. The Cowboys were dead. And they went into Philly and won. And then I think they did what? Cowboy fans, help me. Won 5 of 6 the rest of the way. That was an enormous. That was the best win, was the Cowboys. I hated it. I wanted to throw up, but I got to be fair. Keep it fair. Keep it fair.
Yeah, you know, looking at these games, I mean, obviously we already picked the Chiefs-Rams, so just throw that one out.
Yeah, exactly. I can't throw that one out.
Can't do two of them. Cowboys-Eagles was solid, but you know what? Getting light beer for a victory, and even though it was the Jets, you were 1-32.
Yeah.
Actually, technically, you were 1-33-1. At that point.
Yes, yes.
So the fact they got a win.
They tied some weak franchise. I can't remember who it was earlier.
Yeah, exactly. They're called your daddy. Anyways. but I think the biggest thing was seeing them actually win and then looking at what they did by the end of the season and how they gained momentum, and this was the coming out party for Baker Mayfield. I have to pick that one. Browns Jets.
Yes, you know, Rams Chiefs.
No.
Envelope, please.
I already said it. Best win.
No.
What?
Browns getting their first win since 2016.
Yeah! Hey! 2 for 2. 2 for. This is what winning feels like.
The Academy of.
All right.
In case you were wondering.
I noticed he looked at you, Wolf, when he said that.
Yeah, he did. You dirtbag.
Hey, did you wear a Super Bowl ring in here, Max?
Or not today. Okay. Not today.
Oh,
the next category.
Best soundbite. And the nominees are
Marcus Peters and Gumbo.
Tell Sean Payton, keep talking that we're going to see him soon. You feel me?
Fair enough.
You feel me. Because I like what he was saying on the sidelines, too. So tell him, keep talking that and I hope you see me soon. You feel me? And then we're going to have a good little, nice little bowl of gumbo together.
I love the fact what he said. I loved it when he said, do you feel me?
Yeah.
Exactly. I love it.
Yeah.
Just a little extra.
Von Miller.
I've got to do that,
he
man.
He visualized
I'm
it.
I'm telling you right now. Yeah. Yeah.
Just run him over, Bo.
Von Miller.
I want to say it's a must win. We're going to kick the ass, though.
Oh.
Make sure you put that up there. We're going to kick the ass.
That is strong.
That is strong.
This is a tough category right
you know
here.
What, honestly, I'm going to walk in the next contract negotiation and say, I want a new contract. Yeah.
Hey, you can put that up there. I'm going to kick that. Put it up there. Yeah.
And then the Cardinals' inability to finish.
We just got to learn how to finish. We just didn't finish tonight. You know, finding a way to finish. Just our inability to finish. You know, got to learn how to finish. We just didn't finish tonight.
This is a right. Was that a right in for
C? How about the Academy? Just,
I mean, that was DJ.
That was torching DJ. Somebody.
Yeah.
Wow, this is a great category. I got to go with gumbo. That's too. Yeah. Do you feel me? And then it's all going to be fine and we're going to have gumbo. That's.
Yeah.
Do you feel me? Yeah.
It's like Diddy in the 90s.
I'm going gumbo.
New age, take that.
Just,
take
honestly, it used to be sir. If you said sir after you said something, right? It gave validity to it. Now you say, yeah.
I'm going gumbo. Where are you going?
I like what he was talking on the sidelines. So, yeah.
I'm going gumbo.
Exactly.
Envelope, please.
Yeah, it's all right. Peters.
Tell Sean Payton, keep talking that. You're going to see him soon.
Yes.
You feel me?
That's
fair
the
enough.
First one Wolf got right.
Because I like what he was saying on the sidelines, too. So tell him, keep talking and I hope you see me soon. You feel me? And then we're going to have a good little, nice little bowl of gumbo together.
You got to pull that, man. The Marcus Peters, you feel me? Yeah.
The NFL honors, as awarded by the Baron Maloney Academy.
Command and control.
They did better this time. Boy, I tell you, the last time the Academy, I think, got every vote wrong. This one, the Academy did a much better job.
Absolutely love it.
Coming up next, You'll never guess as we walk back memory lane on a throwback Thursday. Does Max and Wolf remember where they were?
Yeah.
That's that wasn't time for that. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Yeah.